Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we cover Blizzard's many games. I'm your host, Matthew Rossi, and with me this week are two absolutely amazing, practically bitten by radioactive spiders, amazing co-hosts. First up, he's full of spirit and wants to talk about manufacturing. It's Alex Zebart. Alex, what have you been doing this week?
Not talking about manufacturing anymore, because you yelled at me.
I didn't yell at you. I just wanted to move the show.
I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4 because I took a little bit of time off after BlizzCon because there was BlizzCon was like, I think you were aware of how grumpy I was. It's kind of a weeks long endeavor. So after BlizzCon, I was like, all right, I'm taking a few days off. And I just played Fallout 4 nonstop. I think I have like 2.5 days worth of slash played in Fallout 4 from those few days I took off.
And I'm assuming you enjoyed it, but I'm going to move on at this point because we should move on to Anne. Anne Stickney does everything for us at the site. How have you been this week? What have you been up to?
I'm playing Diablo 3.
Yeah, you tell the story about the BlizzCon login thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, it's been a while. It's been a while since I played Diablo 3, but I caught Taryn Gregory was streaming just after BlizzCon, and he was streaming some Diablo 3. It was like some after BlizzCon chill stream time, and I was watching him play, and I was like, man, it's been a while since I've like logged into Diablo 3 and just smushed some demons and turned them into fine paste. I think I should go do that. So I reinstalled it because it had been uninstalled, and logged in, and when I logged in, I got all of the achievements and the stuff for BlizzCon 2015, and then that was promptly followed up by all of the achievements and stuff from BlizzCon 2014, so yeah, it's been a while since I played. Like, there was a big screen that popped up, and it was all, woo, seasons, woo, rifts, bounties, da-da-da-da, like, all kinds of little, just a bunch of stuff I didn't understand, and I was like, can I just get down to the important business of smushing demons here, which I did, so I'm playing through Reaper's Souls right now, having fun with it.
Cool. Okay, as is usual the case for the podcast, we're probably going to talk about some top stories for the week right now. We've actually, you know, it's been a pretty eventful week, all told. First up, I guess we'll mention that it's the 11th anniversary of World of Warcraft today, or this week. They started it, I believe, today?
Yeah.
As we're recording it today?
Yeah.
Yeah, they started it today, and I, amongst the other things you can get, I believe there's an inflatable Thunder Fury for you. I don't quite get why that's cool, but, you know.
There is an inflatable Thunder Fury. There is an Edwin Van Cleef costume, which, by the way, on the live stream, the leveling stream this week, I think it needs to be an all Van Cleef leveling stream.
I won't know who to yell at.
I know. It'll be great. Just trust me.
Alex, I have faith in you.
Just yell at everybody. It'll be fine.
We're all going to do something.
We're all going to make each other angry anyway. We're Northern. That's just where these things happen. But yeah, there's that. You get a couple of wands that turn your friends into things. And all this stuff has limited charges, so it's not going to last forever, unfortunately, sadly. But it's still pretty cool.
I mean, people aren't very happy. People aren't very happy about that, but I totally get it. If
it's
they
an
gave
anniversary. It's not supposed to be like a all the time thing.
I mean, some of the items we've gotten for anniversaries all the time, like pets and stuff, but they're not going to give every single player a free Thunder Fury that lasts forever. I mean, that would be kind of nobody wants Thunder Fury for the stats anymore. It's just the looks. So if they gave everybody a vanity Thunder Fury, the people who actually have it would be a little upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people would just be, you know, continuously linking it, and we'd never get anything done.
Yeah.
Oh, they still have to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... I'm not really that surprised it's not permanent. I mean, it'd be like giving them everyone a Sol for us or something. I mean, you know, it's... Except Thunder Fury has the cachet. So, yeah.
I mean, they'll still link it in chat incessantly. Like, that is not changing.
I don't even know how that began. It just became a thing.
I don't know. Just a thing.
It just became a thing, and it's just a thing that's continued to be a thing and gotten stranger and kind of funny.
I mean, I prefer people saying, you know, for example, in chat going, did somebody say Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Ancient Windseeker, versus them going anal then linking a spell.
This is true.
Yes, I was trying real hard not to mention that.
Yeah, I can do with Thunder Fury. I can do without anal bloodworms.
Why did you feel right the need along. To continue?
Look, Death Knight spells were something else with that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now that Alex has made us all feel unclean.
Thanks, Alex.
I
guess we should talk about the fact that last week Blizzard went kind of full on with the class previews, dropping one for pretty much every class except Death Knights, because we can't really have class previews for a class that hasn't even debuted
yet. You mean
yet.
Demon Hunters.
Thank you, Demon Hunters. I can keep doing that for the rest of my life, and it's going to drive me insane that I keep saying Death Knights when I mean Demon Hunters.
Well, they both begin with a D, and they both have two words.
But yeah, Demon Hunters, you didn't get a preview on. From what I understand, and you guys were advertised
on. I think, aren't there the same number of letters in Death Knight and Demon Hunter?
I think so.
I'm not going to count them.
Also, they're both hero classes, and monks were not a hero class. So apparently,
you guys were at BlizzCon, though, so you can tell me this. The Demon Hunter was only the Havoc Demon Hunter was playable?
Correct. Yeah, yes. the tank one was not playable, but the DPS one was.
And the preview actually only goes about halfway?
Okay, you get to the end of what's going on our Mardoom, but then after that, presumably, you show up. Basically, it ends when you're going back to the Black Temple after you've successfully completed your mission on Mardoom. But from what we've been told, there is more that happens after that, because, you know, once you return to the Black Temple, you find out that, Illidan's been vanquished, and here's Maiev, and whoops, we're being locked away, and then you get locked away.
I suspect the demo also started a ways into the quest train. I think like the beginning and the end were missing, and we kind of played the middle.
There was probably a cinematic or something that gets plunked in at the beginning, I think.
So yeah. So it wasn't likely we'd get a preview for Demon Hunters. There, I managed to make myself say it. But everybody else, every other class got them, including some... We've been told that some classes were getting their specialization names changed, but really only one class did.
Just Rogues.
Rogues. Did they even change the other two?
Nope.
No.
It's still Subtlety and Assassination and Outlaw. It's because that third spec was called Combat, and it's Combat is... That's what everybody does when they engage with another unfriendly NPC. Or mob.
We're fighting rogues.
We're all fighting rogues. We're engaging in rogue.
As opposed to like chess playing rogues.
Yeah.
Aha! At last, I've got.
Its basis is combat still. So.
Yeah, it's basically just. Playing
I do like the whole outlaw designator though, because that kind of, particularly with the changes that they're making to that spec, where there's the whole pistol. Element kind of worked into it. It's like, okay, outlaw. Outlaw, you have like you know, your blades and all of that, and then you got a pistol. Pew, pew. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
I feel like they should, like, actually put pistols in the game and make them outlaw rogue only equipable just to drive hunters insane.
I wish they could, but they won't.
Hunters flipping out. Like, oh, my God. Like Rogue's like, yeah, we don't, we have that extra slot.
They could, but they're not going to. It's just going to be like an animation thing that happens when you use that particular attack.
A good point from the chat channel is I think they did mention that they were going to change it so there were no duplicate spec names, but
yeah,
we didn't see that reflected anywhere. There was
Restoration Druid and Restoration Shaman, so
and Protection Warrior and Protection Paladin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they left duplication stuff in, frost mages, frost DKs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whether or not they're intending to change that in a future date, they have not done so as of the preview. The preview, I mean, we can't really sit here and go over the whole thing, but it was interesting to get an idea of the philosophy behind each class, at least, what they're going for. There was obviously some specifics are missing. We don't have talents yet, so we don't really know what they're going to be doing. Like it's hard to when they say these two specs are going to be differentiated by their talent choices and you don't have the talents, that's like, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
But it was a good kind of intro though, where you could kind of get an idea of what they were going for.
Yeah. And if you look at anybody who's listening, not you in particular, the Warcraft devs Twitter, they've actually been answering a lot of questions on there. Fairly, like, some of them they've been vague about. Like, somebody asked if they're going to change the days and aspect of the pack, and the devs Twitter is like, oh, you won't have to worry about aspect of the pack anymore. It's like, well, does that mean it's gone? Does that mean the days is gone? Does that mean it's been changed?
What do you mean by that? What have you done?
That was ominous.
Oh, you won't have to worry about aspect of the pack anymore.
It's dead.
Yeah. I guess the last thing to mention before we move on is this one. I'm only bringing up because people have actually asked for it to be clarified. So, gnome hunters.
Oh yeah.
Gnome hunters, yay!
I honestly didn't see it coming.
And, well, no, that's because they're very small. I'm sorry.
That was terrible. Oh my God.
Oh, no.
They're very small.
I am ambivalent on gnomes, but again, I am of the opinion that people should be able to play whatever they want. So, I mean, that's cool. I think they should open up other ones, but this is a nice step.
I think with classes like hunters and warriors, there's not really a big lore reason why just about anybody couldn't pick up a weapon and hunt things.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, certain things, like, I get druids are only from certain races because only certain races have druidic traditions or anybody to teach it to them. And some races, like, I have a hard time with gnome druids because gnomes are about as far away from coexisting with nature as you can get.
They're into tech.
But hunting I can see, because hunting is, you know, not necessarily about coexisting with nature. It's kind of about dominating it.
Well, and the thing is they've been working in tandem with the dwarves for so long, you would think, yeah, they've probably picked that up by now, you know?
See, what you just said is why I think that some of these combinations are fine now that didn't make sense at launch. Like, anybody from any alliance race could have gone and trained with somebody else for the last 10 years and have known how to do it now.
Yeah, it depends on the selectiveness of the group. Like, I can see druids being like, nope, we're not going to show you that. I mean, sorry.
Would the Night Elves, I mean, okay, maybe this is a bad example, because I think everybody would say no to gnomes, but would the Night Elves really have a problem with, like, a gnome hanging out in Moonglade?
Yes. I don't know if they would or not, but it's, yeah, I can see them being like, yeah, it's great that you hang out.
I have a feeling that they probably still have a problem with the whole idea of trolls hanging out in Moonglade, but they're too polite to say anything about it.
They would probably be friendlier to the gnomes than the trolls.
Yeah, but at the same
time, the
gnomes
are their friends. The trolls eat them.
If you look at the gnomes' history and how they solve problems, oh, we have a bunch of trogs in our city. What should we do? We should irradiate the entire city. Okay, do you see where you went wrong there? We didn't irradiate it hard enough? No, that's not the problem. We should have irradiated it more thoroughly. No, you irradiated it too much. Irradiating it shouldn't have been the go-to. What should we have done? Poison them? We tried to poison them with radiation. No! Okay.
For right. perhaps a better example, say like a human that wanted to become a druid. At this well, point, yeah, they probably could point, have.
At this point, it's silly that they can't because, you know, well, if you're a human, you want to be a druid. Yeah. If you're a human, you want to be a druid. Have you considered being infected by a curse bird?
Well, just get this gentleman over here to bite you, and then you could be a druid.
My lifelong dream. Oh, my arm. My lifelong dream.
Ow, my leg. My leg. Look, I could be a kitty.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really my justification for all of these. Like, these people have coexisted for so long. If they wanted, if somebody wanted to learn, they could have by now. That's yeah, that's just how I feel.
I'm willing to accept that. Okay. I guess that's it for the top stories for this week. So at this point, I'm throwing it over to Anne to introduce our next little sponsorship deal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for you guys, listeners of Blizzard Watch, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And I think, Rossi, you've got a recommendation this week, yeah?
Yeah, so back to me. Yeah, my friend works as an audiobook guy, so I get a lot of audiobooks recommended to me. And this week I'm recommending Reich, which I'm just going to tell you up front. This is a book where a U-boat commander is trapped on a ship with Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler is a vampire.
Vampire Hitler?
That's what I'm giving you.
Is this like a sequel vampire to Abraham Hitler. Lincoln Vampire Hunter? Or
not actually related, but...
Oh, okay.
In much the same spirit of, you
in
know...
that genre.
Take real-life situation and throw in all sorts of weird stuff that the book Reich is for you. It's by Donald Allen Kirch, K-I-R-C-H. And it's on Audible right now, so you can find it. How do they find it again, Anne?
You can find it by signing up through our site at the website that I forget the name of.
Wow.
Excuse me. Okay, blizzardwatch.com/audible. I am so sorry. Look, it's been a really That's long okay. day. I'm kind of tired.
did Vampire Hitler just like throw you off kilter there?
He did.
Nobody expected Vampire Hitler. I mean, come on.
You can find it at... the website.
No, you anyway. Can download this title and you can download a whole heck of a lot of other titles just by going to blizzardwatch.com/audible and signing up there.
So yeah, now we're going to do some emails, and as is always the case, if you've got an email for the site, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com, and or you can sign up via our, you know, support us via Patreon. And when you do that, you'd be able to ask us questions for the podcast. And we've got a few this week. We're going to try and do a couple.
And I've had a few people ask specifically how to submit those on Patreon. You can just, Patreon has a messaging system. You can either send them to me directly on there on the patreon.com/blizzardwatch, or you can just leave a post. Like, anybody who is a patron can leave a general post on that page. It's the front page of the Patreon is like the creations, and then you can click to all posts, and everybody can write stuff there. So you can either send them to me or just post them there, and I'll find them.
Yeah. And this week he's got a few for us, so we're going to try a few of those up front and see how we go. So first one is from Sporkles, Gnome Warlock and Airy Peak.
I love that What's name.
It? Yeah, it's – I got to tell you, man. You go. You do you. Was there any discussion of professions in Legion? My wife and I played Final Fantasy XIV, and we've maxed out all the crafting and gathering professions there, and the WoW professions are quite lackluster in comparison. To me, it's one of the weak points in the game. I know they did. I remember the panel where they talked about professions, but here's the problem. It was the same panel where they did transmog, so my brain went, like, white. And all I remember is the transmog part.
I was
like the
live,
entire rest of the panel.
Yeah, I was go live blogging that panel. And as far as professions go, there's going to be like actual quests involved with professions. They're going to get you like a little more involved in the process. It's not going to be the same kind of mechanical thing that we've got going on with Warlords of Draenor. Like, you go to your profession trainer and they say, hey, so, the way, I think, if I remember correctly, the way it was explained in the panel was, like, say you're a tailor, right? You go out in the world and you find a piece of cloth on the Broken Isles and you're like, what do I do with this? So you take it to the trainer and the trainer says, wow, that's really great cloth. I could probably do some cool stuff with it, but I'm not really sure how to make it work. Can you maybe find an expert on the island who understands how to do this tailoring stuff? So there's, like, quests involved. along with the whole leveling process. It's not just walk up to your trainer, pay them a bunch of gold, learn a bunch of recipes. It's a more interactive process now. It sounds really fascinating. I wish we had heard more about it, but they were working within a time period, so they were cramming so much information into that systems panel. It was crazy.
Major glyphs are gone.
Yeah.
I'm depressed.
Sorry, Alex.
All of my gold gone.
Yeah, it is weird that they're doing that,
just
in my opinion.
Just start squirreling it now, Alex. I honestly
did expect them to do that entirely because World of the Draenor is the expansion where I finally really got into it on top of that market, and I have tens of thousands of inks squirreled away. I just said squirreled away because on the live stream we're watching a squirrel, and that kind of got in my head. But anyway, now I have tens of thousands of inks that are going to go to waste. It's awful.
My use of professions this expansion dropped precipitously. I crafted some armor for myself. I just crafted some stuff for my alt, actually. He's already got the 3 crafted epics, the 640 epics, that he can use. So
that's basically all I've done with it. I have a jewel crafter engineer. I made myself some goggles. I upgraded those a few times, and I think I've made all of maybe a couple dozen gems this expansion, and that's it. That's it, because there hasn't really been anything else to do with jewel crafting.
That's what was really interesting about Inscription's expansion. While every other profession was really limited in Warlords, Inscription was fine. Like, the stuff you could make from the daily cooldowns or whatever, who cares about that stuff? It's not interesting. What everybody wants is those glyphs, and there was no limit on glyphs. You could pump those things out and people would buy them every day. You could move tons of them if you paid attention.
You know, I'm gonna say this, I think the biggest fault with at least blacksmithing this expansion was making this stuff bind on equip and sellable. And here's why. The stuff in Burning Crusade, the individual weapons you could make, were unique to you.
Yeah.
You couldn't sell them or give them to anyone, so upgrading them was personal. But now, you just make them, upgrade them as much as you can, and slap them on the AH.
Well,
there's no personality. There's no personality to any of it. It's just Steelforged Great Axe, Steelforged whatever, Saber, Steelforged blah. And it's just as opposed to the BC weapons, which had a name and an identity. And I really feel like they messed up on that. It didn't feel special. It was just epic.
It felt very mechanical to me this time around.
Yeah, I think there's room for both of those things, having compelling things to sell and also having really cool personal stuff. I think there's totally room for both, but Warlords didn't do both.
Yeah.
Warlords did the you can make it, sell it, and that's fine. But I wish they'd done the armor thing separate from the weapons in the first place.
Yeah.
Had the armor pieces and the weapons not linked, and had the weapons be just for you.
Burning Crusade had some really cool stuff in professions. I mean, some of it could get tedious, but for example, the cloth making as a tailor, I really enjoyed that. And my alt was a blacksmith. I loved making the Lionheart Executioner. To this day, I mean, that weapon
that
looks
was
really
a cool
aged now.
Sword. That
like it really looks cool bad. Like, it's low res now, but at the time, oh my god, that was the best thing.
It was the Thundercats weapon.
Yeah, it's still cool now just because it's distinctive looking.
Yeah.
I mean, whereas, it's a low res model, but it looks cool because it's unique looking. But all right, next email. This one is from Vesuvius, so don't erupt on me, bro. Podcast question. Hello, watchers. I'm confused about a moment in the legendary ring quest chain. I got my ring about a month ago, and a friend recently told me Rathian makes an appearance at the end of the quest, which I don't remember. When does he show up? Thank you for your time, and looking forward to your thoughts. Vesuvius.
It's one of those blink and you'll miss it moments. He just appears. He's outside of Khadgar's tower, and he doesn't appear he's in whelp form, so he's just the little black whelp. And he's just sitting there on a signpost, and then he flies away. He doesn't actually say anything. I don't think there's any dialogue or anything. He just makes an appearance and then leaves.
Yeah, it's a little cameo. He doesn't do anything. He's just
it's tiny.
Present.
Okay, next one is from Kiri, a level 100 paladin on a Vex on Thunderlord. Hello, watchers. If I remember correctly, the Titans could not destroy the old gods because doing so would somehow hurt Azeroth, if I'm remembering this fact correctly. And if so, do they know this from experience? Is there an old god that they did destroy to find this out? Thank you, Kiri, level 100 paladin.
Yasharaj.
If you were playing Yasharaj? I'd say Yasharaj.
Yasharaj.
I thought it was like Yashara or something like that. It's a bizarre word, but it's that old god down in Pandaria whose heart we got. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you first started encountering the Shah and how the Shah infest the land and they're basically made out of negative emotions, there the breath of the old god as it died. When it died, killed by Master Ra using the Fist of Ra'den, when he did kill it, it somehow split the thing's essence across Pandaria and infected the land with the Shah and made it so that negative emotions cost you a terrible price throughout the entire area. And that was because of this. So in a way, killing him made it worse because now his essence was everywhere in the land.
Instead of just being one globulous tentacled thing or whatever he looked like, suddenly he was present everywhere.
And what's worse is that his heart continued to exist and have a kind of
chit-chat with people.
And it still had power, and it could still call the various Shah to it. So if you remember the cinematic before when the trailer for the Siege of Orgrimmar was coming out, there was the cinematic where you see Garrosh fight what's his name? He's a real jerk.
Taranzu.
When Taranzu fights Garrosh in the cinematic, and Garrosh, basically dumps the heart of Yashaj into the water, he essentially destroys the entire Vale with the power of Yashraj's heart, and it's just, it basically is a giant mess. It didn't get, nothing got dealt with. It took us to finally destroy the heart, and essentially we destroy it by getting it to exhaust itself. And it turns into a pile of sludge. If you remember at the very end of the Garrosh fight, there's a... I'm not wrong about this, Anne, right? There's a pile of sludge and that's the remainder of the heart?
I think so.
Because that's what you get the quest from.
If I remember correctly, yes.
Yeah, you get the quest to plant a tree in the Vale, and that you're good. We're good now. You can leave. Please leave. Please leave and don't come back.
Just plant the one tree and we'll take care of the rest. You can just go. Go.
Please go. Please go.
Please just go.
Yeah,
you can come back for the trial, and then after that, you leave again.
Please don't leave your hearth set to one of the shrines and then constantly use it as a teleport. You're totally going to, aren't you? Well, it's very
you're
convenient.
You're
going to
do that anyway, aren't you? Great.
Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, so basically, yes, they tried it. It didn't work the way they hoped, and so they went with a policy of containment, because in order to deal with the old gods more permanently, they'd have to strip the planet down to the bark and try over. It would have to be a gigantic do-over. They'd have to reoriginate everything, because this is the result of just trying to kill it outright.
And the floorboards are warped. Yeah. Such an extensive renovation. It's going to cost a lot of money. They just put some carpet down.
Yeah, it's basically
tear it down, put up a new subfloor.
They'd have to call
carpet, maybe install some hardwood. Might as well just tear the whole house down.
They would have to call Holmes Galan, the repairer.
Oh,
and he'd be like, this planet's not up to code.
This planet is so not up to code.
Alrighty, next email is from Serdon. Serdon says, looking through the artifacts from my beloved warlock, the skull of the Manari really bugs me in terms of lore. Am I right in saying that the lore behind this one is completely borked? It says that Thalkiel had mastery over summoning and binding magics before Eredar served Sargeras. Am I reading that right when I interpreted it as meaning the Eredar, or at least Thalkiel, were experimenting with summoning and binding demons even before Sargeras came to the world? But that's not the worst part. It talks about how Thalkiel's activities infuriated the demon lord Archimonde. If this takes place before Sargeras approached the Eredar and turned some of them into the Legion, then Archimonde should simply be chilling on Argus as one of the three leaders of the Eredar, and most certainly without the title of Demon Lord, no? Finally, if this is before the people of Argus serve the Legion, Dalkeel wouldn't be considered Manari, as that just refers to the Eredar, who became corrupted by Sargeras and the Legion. Am I wrong? Or did Blizzard Lore Gurus fall asleep at the wheel with this artifact? So, you know, when I looked at it, and I had a thought, it doesn't say one way or the other. It doesn't specify this is before or after, and that makes it hard to pin down. Like, Ian, you've looked at it, right?
What, the lore behind it? Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know, how did you read it? Because I read it to be like, you know, this could be either, it doesn't say. Like, did you see something that said this absolutely takes place after or this absolutely takes place before?
I don't know, because it says before the Eredar serve Sargeras, right?
I don't remember it saying that.
It does. It's like the first line of the thing. It says before the Eredar served the Titan Sargeras, one of their greatest leaders, Thakael, had unprecedented skill with summoning and binding magics. Driven by ambition, he reached into the void and was answered with knowledge of dark creatures unlike any the Eredar had seen before. His audacious power graph infuriated the demon lord Archimonde, who struck him down, then had his skull gilded and placed on display as a warning. Today, the Dreadlord Mephistroth uses it to enhance his ability to summon and command demon armies for the Legion. So, to me, I think all of that would have been okay had they not referred to Archimonde as a demon lord. Because he wouldn't have been at that point.
Yeah, if they just said infuriated the Triumvir. Archimonde, because he was part of the Triumvirate. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, I keep reading this thinking it must be before, because Monary just means anything foul and corrupt. So Thalkiel would have been Monary even if the Eredar didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
In fact, once the Eredar became Eredar as they are now, they stopped calling themselves Monary.
It's sort of like it's sort of like how the Maghar call themselves Maghar, and they're not. They're just orcs from varying clans that came together and formed the Maghar, but the Maghar, all it means is uncorrupt.
Yeah.
And
of course,
Manari is kind of, it's one of those terms where it means corrupted, twisted, whatever. So they used it to, obviously that word existed before the Eredar were corrupted. So, you know, one would assume that there were bad Eredar.
And one of, like, prior to meeting Sargeras, one of them trying to summon demons is totally believable, because, like, that was a power that existed before the, like, direct offer was made.
And that would totally make Archimonde mad if he was one of the Triumvirate, because it's like, you know.
It's don't just do that. That, like, they then, immediately after, they already call Archimonde a demon lord who is being evil as crap. So, somewhere in here, time gets wonky.
A little goofy.
Like, did he not kill the guy until after he became the demon lord? Like, he'll grow out of it until they all became demons? And they're like, nope, I don't like this demon summoning you're doing. Why? Because you're horning in on our thing. That's why we're killing you, because it's annoying.
And it's a bit strange. If these people existed at the same time, it's nitpicky, but also a little weird to call him one of their greatest leaders, but he isn't one of that triumvirate. So it's like, well, clearly he wasn't, because he was probably below these other guys. So,
yeah. I don't know. Somebody needs to look at that and maybe make a tweak, because, yeah, I don't think that...
If Thalkiel existed before Archimonde was born or whatever, and Archimonde isn't in the picture, like, this is all totally legit. It's just tying Archimonde in there makes it strange.
Or, you know, they could have had leaders who weren't part of the big three leading the entire race.
Either that, or this was all after the Eredar served the Titan Sargeras, and in which case that would also make perfect sense. It's like after Velen vacated, this thing happened.
Like, if Velen is already gone and they're already demon lords, I don't think anybody would have a problem with him summoning demons.
Yeah,
they might just be annoyed with him summoning them.
Archimonde would be like, hey, you're horning in on my territory here. I'm one of the big guys, not you. So I'm going to make an example out of you to make sure that nobody else is trying any kind of power grabs here. And
hey, don't go summoning demons. We don't do that in the Burning Legion.
No, hey, don't be summoning demons to make yourself more powerful, because I'm top dog here, not you, and you need to remember your place. So let me show it to you by removing your skull.
This is your place. Here on my shelf.
Here on my
shelf. Look, you look amazing next to my collectible shoes.
Ah, so much tchotchke. Yeah, demon tchotchke.
Well, that's a lot of these artifacts. That is in fact what we're dealing with. Like, you know, hey, this demon dog was really, really cool. And I got his teeth. Mephistroth has a lot of stuff like that, I'm noticing. In the artifact descriptions, Mephistroth has like effectively the demonic Hummel figurine collection. look, a skull and some teeth and an evil book. It's like, wow, you're really
going to install this in a cabinet with some uplighting.
Mephistroth is basically the guy who just orders everything that he sees on like the demonic version of Boing Ball.
Look, all he is he's a demonic antiquer.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to collect this scythe that, you know, harvested 1,000 souls. All right. Next one is
they're on Pawn Stars, and somebody brings in like a demonic tome, and he's like, "Hey, I got a guy who knows stuff about this," and he calls up Mephistroth.
He comes in. He's like, "Well, if you check the back of that thing, there's a mark there, and if the mark is there, then this is worth a lot."
$50, best I can do, man. You know, I only have so much room in the shelves. There's not a lot of demand for
and then
demonic
I have
tomes.
To, you know, pay to store it. Yeah,
there's a lot of paperwork involved. $50, best I can do.
But it's got 1,000,000 souls in it.
People can't buy souls, man. I mean, souls are illegal around here. I would actually have to have the souls removed to be able to sell it.
Either that or I'd need to procure a license, and that's more cost on my end. So.
Anyway. next one is from Gorkin, whose name rhymes with Orkin, apparently, so I should have said Gorkin. I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. You put a preface in your email that you're a she, and I'll try to remember that as I read this and answer it. Greetings, Watchers. With the introduction of artifacts, I have never been happier with my decision to make an alt of every spec. Currently, only about 2/3 of them are in the 95 to 100 zone, but I have plenty of time to bring them all up to the point where they'll be able to ready to go with do their artifact quests when Legion hits. When making them, I took care to spread them as evenly as I could across the races of both factions, as well as trying to hit as many different armor and role types within each race as I could. One of the reasons for trying to ensure this variety was that I like seeing the various racial combat animations. So my questions are these. A. Are there any particular animations that you love? For instance, I seem to recall hearing that the female Forsaken Warrior has a nice set of them, and having one myself, I'd have to agree.
Do we want to answer these
as
we go?
Actually, yeah. Let's go. Let's do that, because otherwise I'll be reading for a long time. So you guys go first.
I quite like Night Elf female spellcasting. Not so much Night Elf male spellcasting, where it looks like they have a splitting headache.
Okay. Female Forsaken, number one. Female Forsaken rogues are awesome because they do backflips, and I think that's great. And I think the female Forsaken warriors do that too. I'm not sure. Rossi, can you confirm that?
Yes, I absolutely
can. Is it the backflip?
The Death Knights do it too.
Okay.
It's anybody who does melee with a female Forsaken.
Okay. And the other thing that I like about female Forsaken is actually it's an obscure animation that you will never see because you don't actually see spellcasters do this. But if you hit something with your staff, she'll like haul off and pull the thing over her head like two-handed and bring it down like a fly swatter. And it's the most hysterical thing I've ever seen.
You don't think spellcasters do that? You don't watch me enough on the leveling stream.
Oh, really? I don't watch you, so...
Yeah,
it's so just funny watching the Forsaken lady do it because she's like all knees when she jumps anyway. So there's just like this combination of jumping and thwacking things on there.
Warner Brothers. They'll actually do that with pole arms and staves if they're just a melee class that uses those. Except monks, obviously, because monks have their own special animations.
I was
going
to ask about monks. Because I was like, I'll roll Forsaken monk now.
I've actually used a staff on a Forsaken Undead, a Forsaken Warrior, and she did, in fact, do the weird-ass twirly, jumpy thing. They do something else I can't remember that's actually really cool, but for me, the one I'm going to mention, because it's it's one that I didn't know about until like fairly late in the game, is gnomes with two-hand swords, especially like a gnome with two-hand swords. It looks like the swords are like out of control.
Yeah.
And the gnome is just hanging on as best he or she can. Just flipping around the sword. Like, Jane, stop this crazy thing animation. It's just great. It is the most fun. Like, a gnome warrior with Titan's Grip, best thing I've ever seen. It just like, yeah! It literally looks like they're not backflipping, somersaulting at you while trying to hit you with these giant swords. It feels like they're just like, I'll get them with something.
Yeah, like the sword is leading them as opposed to them directing the sword.
The gravitational pull just keeps propelling them forward.
They can't fight the momentum.
They can't stop either. Once they get going, they're just like a little ball of blades and death. The other one that I like is Blood Elf, when they're just idle, stealthed, they do this crouch thing that's really cool. I like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat and say when Legion rolls around, the Blood Elf female demon hunters, they look so good with the warglaives. Like, it's super elegant. The Night Elves didn't look as good, but I guess maybe that was not entirely finished at the time. But
I don't think it was entirely. We heard noises that it might not be entirely finished animations-wise.
Yeah, the Blood Elf females, they just looked so swirly, elegant death with those warglaives. It was really
It's nice. Very fluid.
The Night Elves, they had some of that, but not as... They didn't look as gracefully deadly.
I'll say this for Blood Elves. It's a shame that Blood Elves don't have good-looking two-hand weapons in terms of size. Like, their weapons are small.
Yeah.
But the way they hold them, like the Sindarai Warblade in particular, if you ever get the Sindarai Warblade, it just looks perfect with anything a Blood Elf does with it. I keep mogging to it because they hold it just right and they use a sweeping, swinging motion that just works perfect with that model. I really dig it. Also, Tauren, pretty much anything a Tauren does with a big weapon. Like, Tauren look really good tanking. Like, a Tauren tanking just looks like, that's what should be happening. He should have a car door strapped to his arm and like, a mace the size of a small person in his other hand. Because, perfect. Just absolutely perfect. All right, moving on to B. Are there any animations you feel didn't translate well with the new character models? I have a female gnome fury warrior, and maybe it's just because I really loved how she moved before, but her attacks just feel is a whole lot less dangerous now. I think that's probably because of the way they look more than anything else, but... I don't know. I always keep their faces covered. You guys, anything there?
I've heard a lot about gnomes not having translated so well, to the point where my girlfriend just yesterday finally erase changed her gnome to Night Elf because she got sick of what her gnome looks like after the new character model. So I guess gnome is an issue in general. It's not really animations that have bothered me. I think the animations are pretty good all around. Just there's certain details of the new character models that don't quite match up, like skin tones aren't quite the same they used to be, and that still bothers me to this day. But animations seem fine to me.
And? I still think it's weird watching a male human cast anything because it's a slab of beefcake. It doesn't fit my mind's eye of what a wizard should look like, but another thing altogether.
Dude, I'm totally gonna cast a spell. I'm gonna reach into the arcane nexus and pull forth on the twisting nether, and then we can go do some some shots. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be sick, dude. I'm sorry. You know how I am about the male model.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Wizards.
That's why I hesitated to bring it up. But we can move on to C.
Yeah. I will say one animation I don't think works very well. And Alex kind of mentioned it with like the Night Elf casting thing, but specifically the Night Elf, I don't like you with the spell. You know what I mean? Where he shoves his hands out like, oh, stay away, stay back.
During the casting, he's like clutching his head like he's in horrible pain. Then he just thrusts his hands out like, ew. Like, what is happening? What is this animation?
No, go away. I never liked it in the first place, but with the new higher res model and the hands are actually hands, it just looks like he is terrified of whatever he is doing. Like, get it away from me. Get this spell that I just spent several minutes rubbing on my forehead gone. I don't want to look at it. You take it. You take whatever this is.
The thing I mentioned, the Night Elf females, that I really like their casting animations. The thing I like about it is they do that thing where they like go up on one leg.
Yeah.
And they're like leaning back, but then it feels like they step into the spell for the follow through, and I think that's like pretty cool thing. Like, there's a physicality to it as opposed to just like turning your hand over like some of them do.
Yeah. But the male, it's like he's got something on his hands and he just wants it gone.
That's why I like, I think, both of the Forsaken casting animations I like a lot, because they do this like fist in the air thing. You know, it's like there's a motion that they're kind of like casting into, and it works for those models. It works for those models really well.
Yeah. Okay, number C here.
Number C.
I've heard that they're making adjustments to some of the animations in Legion, but I haven't been able to ascertain exactly what it is they're doing. I've heard things ranging from just smoothing them out to actually trying to incorporate usage of the artifacts into them. What do you know / expect from this?
The thing I noticed during the demo is those effects that like trail behind the sword when you do an attack. It's like a motion trail. Those are a lot smoother and less jaggy, and they just look better. They look more like a stylized motion than like a jaggy angular ribbon. That's all I noticed.
I haven't really heard anything beyond that.
I wasn't there, so. Optional final question. How many people do you think are going to see Garona from the Warcraft movie and think she's a total ripoff of Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy? Thanks and keep up the good work, Gorgon. I honestly went and looked this up, and Gamora does way predate Garona. Garona's from the 90s. Gamora originally is the 70s. She pops up in Jim Sterling's
War. But... So, you know,
in terms of actually being ripoffs of each other, I don't think they are.
There's very little that the two have in common other than, oh, look, they both have green skin.
They're both assassins. There was some inspiration. Happening.
Maybe, yeah.
Blizzard does that. They have a lot of inspiration from comic books.
But Gamora and Garona are both assassins, and Gamora and Garona both worked for the evilest dude possible, Gamora being Thanos and Garona being... my favorite Goldon there. So yeah, there's certain thematic similarities, but I don't think it's really a problem because Garona is going to be an orc amongst orcs.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of orcs. It's not like Gamora was fairly unique in Guardians in that she's the only one there who looks like her or acts like her. Garona is not. That's pretty an orcish way to deal with your problems is to kill them.
There is a short little brief flash of it in the Warcraft trailer that made me concerned that it looked like Garona and Lothar were going to get a little smoochy.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was like, a little Garona concerned.
It's in that trailer that Garona is in prison or whatever, and Lothar is like leaning into the cage, and they look like they're getting a little smoochy, and I was like, I hope they don't do that.
That would be really strange.
It was enough that they shoehorned in the romance with Medivh in the comics. Do they really have to shoe in a romance with Lothar in the movie? Why can't they just let her stab stuff?
And this was like a half-second clip, so it could just be like they're whispering in prison or whatever, but they looked a little smoochy.
Well, and okay, that might have also been because they make these trailers to appeal to a broader audience. So that might not actually be what it is. It just looks like that because people will see that and go, oh, there's romance in this film, too. I should go see that, you know, if they're not familiar with Warcraft at all.
All I'm saying is Garona gets smoochy Lothar and Gamora and Star-Lord are going to hook up. We might have a problem.
See, I'm straight up. If Lothar is making out with an orc, that is a betrayal of everything of what Lothar stands for.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's just wrong.
I think they just kind of framed it that way so that, like I said, they made that trailer so that it would appeal to a broader audience than just the Warcraft fans. So they threw that in there because it looked good. It was a good shot. It's not necessarily like a romance shot or anything. And it could be that they're just whispering to each other.
I'm moving away from this as far fast as I can because I'm real creeped out by that idea. this one is Winterfell, who's got the best Worgen Death Knight name ever. Hello, Watchers. One of the things I was most excited about going into BlizzCon was new race/class combinations. And since the subject wasn't broached at the con, I assumed that it wasn't going to happen this expansion. And then I read about Gnome Hunters on your site. However, the article was updated a couple of times, so what's the final verdict? Exactly how confirmed are Gnome Hunters? I'm going to say they're confirmed, dude. Like, multiple tweets from multiple people at Blizzard saying, yes, we're going to have them. So, if they are, does this mean that further combinations might be unlocked? If so, what are some combinations you foresee? I know you answered this question fairly recently, but in the context of the class fantasies that Blizzard has published during the class changes blogs, do we have any new thoughts on the matter? Personally, I don't see any reason not to unlock Orc Priests if Pandaren, What's the Light, can play them. Winterfell, Worgen, Death Knight.
Anna's going to hate this. I'm still pulling for Draenei Warlock.
God, no.
You want to talk class fantasy where warlocks are this dark, underbelly, seedy, corrupt thing, Draenei Warlock is perfect. I want to be a Draenei Warlock. Something anathema to this society.
They would be slaughtered by their own people the second they reared their demonic heads.
You could say the same thing about the warlocks in Stormwind.
Yeah, but humans are really bad at actually looking for evil and stopping it.
I'm a Draenei Warlock that hangs out with these humans in Stormwind.
I don't know. I don't.
What's Valen going to do? Make a special trip?
It would be actually kind of funny if he did. In terms of for the class fantasy, one of the things that, I almost wish sometimes that certain races could spec into certain specs of certain classes. Because, man, I think Mr. Smite was a prediction of the outlaw, and I could totally see Tauren outlaws.
Yeah,
you got two big swords and you shoot people. That's he isn't particularly sneaky. he's doing the Han Solo thing.
But he had that chest and it had all those things in it, and he knew how to use all of them.
So I almost feel like you could have Tauren rogues, but they could only be outlaws. Or, I guess they could probably figure out poison. I don't see a lot of Tauren poisoning people, but I don't think it should be that hard.
Isn't that how they got Cairn?
Yeah,
I was going to say the Grim Totem.
Yeah. So you could be a Grim Totem rogue. I don't know. I feel like rogues really... We don't have any Draenei rogues, and that's weird.
I think we should have... That was the one that I was going to bring up, was I think we should have Draenei rogues, because... We got introduced to the Rangari. Well,
plus
How do you pronounce that?
I said Rangari.
Rangari. Okay, yeah. So we were introduced to them on Draenor. Obviously, there's a history of scouting, and some of them were even stealthing around, so it's not out of the question.
I'm going to push up my nerd glasses and say I believe you'll find that's the hunter camouflage.
Well, yeah, but Misha was a rogue in Mists of Pandaria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back way before we even had playable rogues in World of Warcraft, in Warcraft 3, when we meet the Draenei, they're they're really the broken or fallen ones.
Yeah, Akama.
But still, they're base stealth all over the freaking place.
So why wouldn't they have that?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they couldn't stealth, without being, horrible lumpy mutations. I don't get it. I've never understood the problem. They have hooves, so what?
They shoes.
They put leather. You just put leather horseshoes on to soften.
You ever actually been around unshod hoofed animals?
They're not real quiet. Noisy. They're very quiet.
You can easily be snuck up on by a goat, and you don't want that experience.
Unless it's a baby goat. I've had a baby goat sneak up on me before.
Yeah, but that's a baby anything. Even baby sharks are kind of cute.
A baby human snuck up on me, I would be terrified.
Mostly because how did it get in your house?
Right. Baby humans are creepy. If a baby goat ended up in my house, this just came in from the wild somehow. I don't know where this baby goat came from, but it got in here. If I just found some random baby in my house, a baby human, that would be horrible. How did this happen?
Anyway, that has nothing to do with any class combinations. I don't know. For me, this is kind of one of the questions where we've got all the class combinations I care about. I feel like for Death Knights are so tied to the starting thing that it's hard to justify like having any new like Pandaren and Death Knights we got, right? Do we have Pandaren and Death Knights?
No.
Is that the one we don't have? Yeah.
No.
It's hard to justify Pandaren and Death Knights because it's hard to imagine Arthas somehow raising a bunch of them. Like they weren't really there. There was like a couple and they didn't die. So
maybe Darian Mograine has been up to some shady stuff since then.
Yeah, he's decided that Pandaren another way.
All those Pandaren that got wiped out in the Vale, they're with the Ebon Blade now.
Well, you know, they are bears. Time to play a game of reanimating bears. I don't know. Anything jumping out? Because we've covered this, I think. Pretty much we've said what we think.
Yep.
I'm going to move on. So the next one is from Drew Bob. Greetings, Watchers. This question is about the Emerald Dream and reorigination. It occurred to me that the other day that Azeroth has an unusually large amount of Titan infrastructure, both for the purposes of containment and ameliorization of the old gods, and maybe using them as for some purpose, as well as for the restarting the whole thing should whatever purpose Azeroth serves go south. Then it occurred to me how in any undertaking, large scale or small, fail-safes are the sort of things that get included in design subsequent to to actual failure. All of this is to say, do you think that Azeroth has been reoriginated maybe even several times? Do you think that perhaps it hasn't been in recent history because the backup copy has been corrupted by the Nightmare? Just some food for thought.
I don't think there's been any like sign of that. I mean, you could speculate on whether or not it has happened, but I don't think there's nothing in the world that says, yeah, this totally happened before.
They should really go back and listen to the last episode of Lore Watch.
Yeah. Well, two episodes ago now.
It's because the current one hasn't come out for like public release yet. But if you go back to the one where we were talking about Azeroth and the origins of Azeroth, and we went way, way off on a tinfoil hat tangent. If that particular tangent that we tinfoil hatted upon, which was that, what's the easiest way to say this, Rossi?
You want an easy way to say that one?
Yeah, an easy way to say that one. Okay, so every planet in the known universe is Azeroth. It's just another version of Azeroth. So there's like a multiverse going on, and Azeroth is kind of the anchor point in that multiverse. If that is the case, then perhaps Azeroth, yes, has been reoriginated several times. It was reoriginated from Argus into Draenor, into Azeroth, into whatever other planet is out there across whatever multiple reality. And this is getting into way deep thought. I don't think that it's possible.
Go listen to the Lore Watch.
Go listen to the Lore Watch because Joe and
Rossi.
Because
I'm not sitting through this.
Yeah, Joe and Rossi and I really went out there, and this actually kind of falls into that where it could be plausible within that particular set of speculation. But that speculation is so far out there, I don't think that it's even like remotely true.
Okay, I think this might be our last email of the night. It's from Belak, Dragonblight. He's a warrior on Dragonblight. He wrote it Dragonblight Warrior, which to me is like the best class name idea ever. It's like a D&D prestige class. The Dragonblight Warrior uses the Blade of the Dragon. Like, anyway. During the BlizzCon discussion about the class halls, they reaffirmed that no, we still won't be able to talk to each other cross-faction. Then they added a tidbit that Demon Hunters would be able to talk cross-faction by speaking Demonic. First off, Demon Hunters are only Night Elves and Blood Elves, right? The Blood Elves only split off after Arthas wrecked Quel'Thalas a handful of years ago. Are we supposed to believe that they lost the common language in that time? Nobody ever has trouble speaking to each other cross-faction during a cutscene, either. What's the deal with the lack of cross-faction communication? Hasn't the time for blocking has passed? Belak. First off, and I think Anne was probably going to tell you this anyway, so I'll just let her. About the whole Night Elf, Blood Elf thing?
What about it?
That how wrong he is there?
What?
I think they're talking Blood Elves splitting off.
The Blood Elves splitting off from the Alliance. The Blood Elves only split off from... The High Elves actually were a part of the Alliance, and then they split off when they... during the Third War. So theoretically, the High Elves / Blood Elves should still be able to talk to the Alliance because they were once members of it. I think that's what he's saying, rather than...
Because if you're saying that Night Elves and Blood Elves only split off from each other after Arthas...
I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think he's probably referring to
Sindorai and the Eldorai.
The thing he said is that, are we supposed to believe that they lost their common language? I think meaning Night Elves and Blood Elves. Night Elves and Blood Elves, when Night Elves and High Elves both existed, High Elves spoke a different language than Night Elves because it had been thousands of years, and their languages diverged. So they didn't...
It was almost 10,000 years ago. Yeah.
The thing with these languages is they have absolutely nothing to do with the actual story of the game.
Nope.
The Alliance, the default language you speak when you type without selecting language is Common. When you're playing Horde, the default language you're speaking is Orcish. So do the Blood Elves just only know how to speak like Orcish in their own language? They don't know how to speak Common anymore? No, it's just a game thing.
It's a game mechanic thing is all it
is. And that game mechanic is increasingly silly because this whole demon hunters being able to talk to each other thing, the Forsaken in beta for World of Warcraft could speak Common.
Why couldn't they? It makes sense that they would speak Common. They just died.
And then they took the Forsaken's ability to speak Common away because they didn't want cross-faction communication. But now they're doing it here where demon hunters can specifically talk.
Well, and maybe they're testing waters. Maybe they're testing the waters to see if that's something that they can do, introduce. The main reason that they took out cross-faction communication is because people were being jerks to each other. That was about it, really.
It was basically Forsaken using their unique ability to talk to Alliance players to grief them.
To be fair, if people on my own faction couldn't talk to me, that would be great too.
Yeah. People are jerks pretty much game wide. Doesn't matter what faction you play. Yeah. There's always going to be jerks there somewhere. There's also going to be people, but there are going to be jerks.
What annoyed me the most was when they took out, for a while, you could still do stuff that wasn't talking, but was still kind of communication.
Like you could emote at each other.
Yeah, you can emote and gesture and get the point across.
You can still do the default emotes. You can't do any custom emotes.
Can you still do those? Because I remember trying to do like pointing type stuff.
I think you could still do pointing.
You can just do slash point.
Yeah.
But if you try and do any kind of custom emotes, people won't be able to read those.
Because
it just says so-and-so is making some strange gestures.
Yeah, because otherwise you could just type slash me in front of what you want to say instead of saying it and get it across.
Yeah.
Like slash me says, hey, jerk, you stole my mining node. No.
And I think it's almost maybe time that they kind of lifted that communication barrier. I don't know.
Well, I just remember when I read about this, that my first thought was that Megan, our warlock columnist, was going to lose her mind.
Yeah.
Because didn't they took demonic away from warlocks? Like, warlocks still speak it?
Curse of tongues would make people speak in demonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and isn't that gone now?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm not sure on that one.
I just imagine her, like, literally combusting.
Yeah. Demon hunters have been kind of crap in that sense. They're taking stuff from the classes that everybody, like, straight up stealing stuff from classes that still exist. It's kind of uncool.
Except it's almost entirely warlocks. Like, they've lifted a couple of things from rogues, but not nearly like the warlocks.
No.
The warlock entire bag. It's literally like they walked in and saw the warlocks eating lunch and began, hey, I'm hungry too, and just reached into the warlock lunch bag.
I'm just going to take that sandwich and these chips and... And
your mom made
your Capri Sun? You've got Capri Sun? I'd like that too, thanks.
Except that the version demon hunters are getting is better. So it's not like they stole their lunch. Like, they took their lunch, threw it away, and then got some gourmet lunch.
They traded it to someone.
Yeah.
Can you make this lunch tastier? I sure can.
Now let's go eat it right in front of the warlock.
Yeah, I think it's pretty uncool what they're doing to warlocks here. But all right.
So Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. And your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. And if you want to continue to support the podcast, you can go ahead and sign up for Audible, that free trial, that URL for that free trial, that is blizzardwatch.com/audible.
And every sign up does help us quite a bit.
Yep.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the podcast. If you have emails for the podcast, again, you've either use the Patreon link or send them to us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com. We love getting questions. We love answering questions. It is kind of what we're for here to do. This has been the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Matt Rossi, and have a good night.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.